The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year, Jesus' parents went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the festival custom. And after they had completed its days, they were returning. And the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. Thinking he was in a caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions, and all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" They did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them, and he came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and the favor of God before men. The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading, which we have today, comes from the book of Luke. It's found only in the Gospel of Luke. Luke has his narrative about the birth of Jesus and the shepherds, and then he has this event in the young life of Jesus, where he is in the temple for 3 days before his parents find him. It introduces us to the theme of the family, and therefore today is set aside in our liturgy as Holy Family Sunday. So let me offer some random thoughts on the spiritual life of families. By the way, some commentators have written that Jesus in the temple was his bar mitzvah, which is not good scripture. That could not be so, because in the time of Jesus, there was no ritual of bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah, the ritual, is something that developed much later in Eastern Europe amongst the Jewish people. In the time of Jesus and in the present day, any young man at the age of 14 is automatically bar mitzvahed, meaning he's a son of the law. And any young woman who is 13 is bat mitzvah, which means she's a daughter of the law. This happens automatically, and such as it was in the time of Jesus. So there was no ritual as we have now. It's a very complex ritual now for bar mitzvah and somewhat less for bat mitzvah. So let me look at the family and the prayer of the family given to us today for our reflection. In the last few weeks, as has been my custom for many, many years, I have visited families. Most of these are families that either I know or families who have a sickness or some struggle in life or have some gift to share that I desperately need. In visiting these families, I connected with a gospel. Some families were rejoicing. They were together. They were cheerful. They were full of life. The angels were singing over their home, and all was well, all was healthy, and all was joyful. Then there were some families who were struggling. The pain of absence perhaps somebody who died in the last year, the empty chair, but also the pain of absence for somebody who is separated from the family, the pain of misunderstanding, harsh judgment, the unspoken word, the unhealed wound, which appears in a special way at this time of the year. The wounds of some families become the conversation between the family and the priest. They tend to tell me the story of the moment. You have the wound of judgment, of harsh judgment. The wound of demanding, of insisting on expectations. We have the wound of loneliness. I found a lot of loneliness. I think the virus has created a certain economy of loneliness which is enlarged. But it's not just the person being alone. Frequently, it's a moral loneliness. I've spoken about that in homilies before. The moral loneliness, a loneliness of the spirit. It's the feeling that I don't fit in. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel understood. There's a certain division here that impacts me. Nobody compliments me, lifts up my spirit. Nobody blesses me in my difference. Nobody anoints me in my disappointment. It's a loneliness of the spirit. It's a wound in the soul. I found that. And I knew that every home I went into was a church. I knew that every home that I visited was Holy Family Church. And what I experienced in the homes is exactly what people not infrequently experience in church. Many people have the same wounds, the same struggles, the same moral loneliness when they approach the church, even the Church of Holy Family. I knew that every home was a church, for the home is the first church. The home is where you first learn to pray. The home is the first place you learn about God's presence. The home is the place which gives you experiences of sacrament, insights into the sacraments of the church. The sacrament of reconciliation. If you don't find it in the home, how shall you find it in the institutional church? If there isn't forgiveness, and there isn't embrace, and there isn't understanding in the home, how should we expect to find it in a community we call church? Where there is division, God's presence is diminished. The table of the home gives us some insight into the table of the Eucharist. It's a table of welcome. It's a table of belonging. It's a table of embrace. It's a table when a family becomes a family. And the table is offended by anger. The table of the family is offended by judgment, by separation, by division, by intolerance. God forbid we should discuss politics because we're so arrogant infrequently, but we're so arrogant in our opinions that we cause all sorts of chaos and division if we sit and have a conversation.
the limits of God's presence become very obvious. And what happens in the home, sadly, for some people, it happens in the church. In the home, we learn who we are. I learned about myself in my home. I learned about my gifts. I learned about the blessings I have. I also learned about my selfishness, my judgment. No different than here at Holy Family. The manner in which I treat people of Holy Family, I learned about myself. I learned about my insecurity. I learned about my judgment. I learned about dividing people. Who is welcome? Who is welcome in our tables at home? And who is welcome in the community we call church? It was wisely said that every parent who doesn't listen to the children, every teacher who doesn't learn from the students, and every church leader who is not informed by the followers are all destined to fail. I think this is true. Recently, somebody sent me this story, a true story, a teaching story, where the child becomes the teacher. The setting is a fifth grade class. The assignment the teacher gives to the class is, write down the 10 wonders of the world. They were allowed time to reflect on it, perhaps take it home or bring it back. So all the students began to name the 7 wonders of the world. And of course they all named the Grand Canyon, Machu Picchu, the Great Wall, the Taj Mahal, the pyramids. They all named these. There was one little girl in the class, and she was very quiet, shy. She seems to be struggling with the 7 wonders of the world. She was quiet. And the teacher went to her and said, are you having trouble naming the 7 wonders of the world? She said, I'm having a little trouble. And he said, tell us what you have written, the 7 wonders of the world. And she announced what she had written. First wonder of the world is to be able to feel. The second, to taste. The third, to sense. To see. To hear. To laugh. And to love. She said, these are the 7 wonders of the world. And she was a good teacher. She wasn't far off. We spent many hours and much money buying gifts for Christmas. But she was talking about gifts that you cannot buy. Money will not buy the 7 wonders of the world. You can't buy these things with money. What did I miss? Why didn't I see? Why didn't I sense the pain? Why didn't I understand the struggle? Why didn't I laugh? Why didn't I love? Why didn't I give a hug to celebrate the seven wonders of the world as a child taught us? That's the meaning of family. It's all the meaning of church. Absent the wonders of the world, the family is wounded. Absent the wonders of the world for the child, the church is wounded. And this time of the year, the wounds become more obvious. People show up at Christmas, haven't been here for a while, and they wonder, is there a place for me in the church? People show up and wonder if they're governed by a law which is legalism or by a law which is love. They wonder if God is a judge or God is love. It's hard to postulate God as Father or God as Mother if I haven't had an experience of a loving father or mother. Say, God is Father, meaning God is infinite love. God is Mother, God is infinite love. How will I know unless I have been touched and I feel and I'm blessed with the understanding, the forgiveness, the welcome, the touch of healing, love. Love makes family come alive. So when we finish any homily, ideally, the homily didn't answer questions. The homily raised questions. When I listen to the voice of God, it's not to answer questions, it's to prompt me to ask the right questions. In Elie Wiesel, in his marvelous seminal book called Night, when he was a little boy in Transylvania, he speaks about, he asked his father, he'd like to have a spiritual mentor. But his father said, you're too young. So the book says, Elie Wiesel says, he attached himself to Moshe the Beadle. Now the Beadle in the synagogue is like a sacristan. And Moshe became his mentor, spiritual mentor. And one day, Moshe said, Elie, why do you pray? Elie said, I don't know. Why do I breathe? Why do I pray? I just pray. Then he said to Moshe, why do you pray? Moshe said, prayed. I pray to the Almighty that I will be given the wisdom to ask the right questions. Thomas Merton, in his marvelous, incredible gospel, The Seven Story Mountain, which is biographical, finishes by said, with this line, sit finis libri, non finis querendi. This is the end of the book, but not the end of the search. The book is complete, but the questions remain. And I will be led by the questions.